Ray, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes to speak with me here at the combined Gateway NAMA and St. Louis Agribusiness Club meeting. What kind of message do you have for the group here today?
Well, I think the overall message has to do with using agriculture as an economic engine for growth, especially in the developing nations. And then how can we apply some of the tools that we have already existing? Tools meaning that there are what I call indigenous models that are successful around the world that we might bring to bear in those countries that are food deficient today. And then how do we create a commercial aspect to the project itself? How can larger organizations be interested in developing countries because of a better business climate that they might have there? So my message is, let's focus our attention in areas where we can help help the global poor and the global hungry and still make money doing that.
Right. Well, I think this year you have a World Ag Forum that's going to focus on that type of environment. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, actually, in all the locations you could possibly have a World Congress, we decided to have it in Kampala, Uganda, in eastern Africa. And you may ask, why? Well, why Africa to begin with? Well, because the majority of food-deprived countries in the world are there. Secondly, most of the populations living in that area are earning under $2 a day. So you had these two combined efforts, plus the largest tract of arable land worldwide is located in Africa. And so if you direct some attention to that, change some policies locally, make it more attractive business climate for those to invest in, and I think we can see economic development taking place.
Well, what do you see being able to happen there in order to, A, interest these companies who might want to make investments, but on the other side, accomplish what's needed for the people who are there, for their government, and even companies that are there as well?
Yeah, I think the overarching concept is to take a look at agriculture from an overall perspective point of view, and that means you have non-food agriculture and you have food agriculture. Now, the African nations who are food deprived, they're just looking for enough food in order to feed their people. But from an economic point of view, it may be better suited for them to be growing non-food products. Get out of the world trade arena and all the subsidies that exist around the world today, because in this area of non-food products, there are no subsidies and there are no tariffs and duties. It kind of opens the market for them and an easier avenue for them to travel from an economic point of view.
So if they were to develop agriculture in that area, like I think is what you're saying, that it might help them financially in a way which they can then use that money to do things like maybe it is bring in some food then from other areas?
Absolutely. It's kind of looking at agriculture from 30,000 feet and who's better able to produce products in the most efficient way. I wouldn't say that it's like low-lying fruit, but there's a lot of work to be done, but it's an avenue that they can travel. And every one of the ministers of agriculture or foreign trade that I've associated with in the African nations all felt that non-food agriculture was an avenue for them to travel because they didn't have to face all those barriers before. Now, what happens? As income levels rise, as it has in other countries like China and India, you see their food consumption changes, and they may not necessarily be able to produce the food that now that they want, now that their income levels go up, so they do import. And therefore, they have greater access to more foods, better nutritional foods, and yet have a higher income to have a better lot in life.
What can companies who may be here who are interested in either being involved or contributing in some way to the effort that you're doing, what would you suggest to them?
Well, first of all, is you can consider coming to the area, because what we're really focused in on is creating the value chain concept, is that everything from producers all the way to the end user, and then bring them to this region and let them see firsthand. Let them meet with the heads of state, the ministers of agriculture, ministers of foreign trade, and hear them say that Africa is open for business. And if it is open for business, what policies are changing now in order to attract them to come? It's difficult to get people to get on a plane and go down there. I know that. But it's always the first case when you get on a plane and you go visit firsthand and talk to the people who are there, business people who are already invested in the market. You meet the leaders, what we call the elders, the elder statesmen in the region, will be in a better position to actually convince them to come to the region.
Now, we're going to have some farmers here today, too. Yeah. What would you say to them, and what can they do to help in this effort?
I think a lot of it has to do with technology, farming practices, good farming practices. Being able to work from a small farm holder all the way up to larger farms, you know, and what are the barriers you need to overcome in order to make it a commercial entity? A lot of these small farm holders are really small, and therefore have no connection into the marketplace at all. But we weren't different here. If you go back 50 or 60 years ago, and then what was the evolution that we went through? I think a lot of it can be some of their experiences be transferred there, some of the technology and growing practices be transferred there, and make some friends and associates in that region.
Or would you consider, or maybe there is, and I'm just not aware of it, some sort of mentoring program for them?
That would be, we do this sister cities. You know, why wouldn't we do farm to farm, co-op to co-op? You know, if you're thinking about how our system works in the U.S., right, can that be replicated in a place like that when you have small farm holders who have no access? Should they have a co-op arrangement? And how do you set up a co-op arrangement? How do you get microfinance? How do you get financing to begin with? Are all things that we have gone through, and why wouldn't we be an educator to help those. So I think the world is better off by us sharing technology, and we are not depriving ourselves here by reducing our agricultural importance. If anything, we're going to raise the statue by being able to help other countries as well.
Great. Well, I think it's certainly a worthy and needed effort, and hopefully we'll get more people involved. Yeah. Thank you very much for taking a couple minutes here, Ray. We look forward to your presentation here at the meeting in St. Louis. I'm
Thank
Chuck
you.
Zimmerman.